The child scampered off into the bushes and was lost to sight. "Exquisite little creature," said the director, looking after her, then turning to his students. "What I'm going to tell you now," he said, "may sound incredible, but then, when you're not accustomed to history, most facts about the past do sound incredible." He let out the amazing truth. For a very long period of time before the time of our Ford, and even for some generations afterwards, erotic play between children had been regarded as abnormal. There was a roar of laughter, and not only abnormal, actually immoral. "No!" and had therefore been rigorously suppressed. A look of astonished incredulity appeared on the faces of his listeners. Poor little kids not allowed to amuse themselves, they could not believe it. "Even adolescents," the DHC was saying, "even adolescents like yourselves." "Not possible." "Barring a little surreptitious autoeroticism and homosexuality, absolutely nothing."
"Nothing?"
"In most cases, till they were over 20 years old."
20 years old?"
echoed the students in a chorus of loud disbelief.
20,
the director repeated. "I told you that you'd find it incredible."
"But what happened?" they asked. "What were the results?"
"The results were terrible."
A deep, resonant voice broke startlingly into the dialogue. They looked round. On the fringe of the little group stood a stranger, a man of middle height, black-haired, with a hooked nose, full red lips, eyes very piercing and dark.
"Terrible," he repeated.
The DHC had at that moment sat down on one of the steel and rubber benches, conveniently scattered through the gardens, but at the sight of the stranger he sprang to his feet and darted forward, his hands outstretched, smiling with all his teeth, effusive.
"Controller, what an unexpected pleasure! Boys, what are you thinking of? This is the Controller. This is his Fordship, Mustafa Mond."
In the 4,000 rooms of the centre, the 4,000 electric clocks simultaneously struck 4. Discarnate voices called from the trumpet mouths.
"Main day shift off duty, second day shift takeover, main day shift off."
In the lift, on their way up to the changing rooms, Henry Foster and the Assistant Director of Predestination rather pointedly turned their backs on Bernard Marks from the Psychology Bureau, averted themselves from that unsavoury reputation. The faint hum and rattle of machinery still stirred the crimson air in the embryo store. Shifts might come and go, one lupus-coloured face give place to another. Majestically and forever the conveyors crept forward with their load of future men and women.